Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, Booth Man Pro.
Booth Man Pro.
Thank you guys so much for coming. Thank you for taking a break from waiting for Avengers Endgame tickets.
Oh, yes.
I know you're all on the queue still. You're all waiting for the tickets.
It was hard. Oh, a lot of stress in the crowd.
Yes.
There. A lot of grumbles.
Oh, my God.
Did anyone not get tickets? Who was trying to? Oh, wow. Like a fair number of people.
Oh, geez. So you're still waiting? Do you have, like, your phone in your pocket? And you?
The site just keeps crashing.
Yeah, I got them early and easily, so I can't.
Wow, what an ass. Yeah. What a monster.
Oh, was that rude?
You're a monster.
Yeah.
You're a monster.
I wish I could snap my fingers and make you disappear.
Yeah.
Oh!
No, I've been buying tickets all day, just nonstop.
Oh, you're the one clogging
just
the site?
Just going in, logging
you're
in, having no problem.
Just, wow.
Going to different sites. I'm the guy that's been blocking everything up.
That's cool. That's a cool move.
A funny thing that happened before the show is we were talking nonstop about Avengers Endgame, and we were like, oh, tickets, when are we going to see it, and talking about spoilers and whatever else. And Pete was like, so you're going to see Shazam? And I was like, what?
You see, I was waiting all day to get Shazam tickets. I just couldn't get on the site. I don't know what the deal is.
Ah, geez.
Guys both didn't know that Shazam was opening this weekend.
Completely
I knew it was coming.
Yeah, you didn't know when, though.
It's coming out this weekend. Is when it's coming out.
You know, as a classically trained actor, I could see right through
that. What are you talking about? That was a performance. I mean, it actually looks good. It's been getting decent reviews, so I don't know what we're talking about.
Great.
It's going to be fine.
No, I think all of these movies will be fine.
And the DC Universe?
They're going to do okay.
Yeah, Shazam, Aquaman are just the two biggest characters, everyone's favorite characters.
Absolutely,
are now
since
at
I was
the
a
top
little kid.
Of the DC Universe, exactly.
Dude, fuck you, Wonder Woman was fantastic.
I'm not saying that Wonder Woman wasn't fantastic.
Thank you for trying to start that, a couple people.
That's good.
Couple
they tried to
like,
start
yeah!
it, and then what happened? But Shazam is sort of our Superman, and Aquaman is our Batman in a lot of ways.
Yeah, are they in the same universe? Are they all on the same team, or what's the deal with them?
I don't think so.
Okay, all right.
Because if Shazam does really well, are Shazam and Superman going to be like hanging out? Yes, that's weird. That's very weird.
Is Shazam going to be like, what's up with your mustache?
Definitely no. That, just like everybody.
Oh, okay, cool. You wanted to do a shout-out, right,
Pete? Joe Crack is here.
Yes, Joe
Crack. Yeah!
There he is, right there. Right there, good.
Oh, right there. Oh, sorry. I can't see with the light.
Pointing into the darkness. he's Joe Crack.
The exit sign.
Joe Crack!
Joe Crack is Pete's imaginary friend, obviously,
so
he doesn't know exactly where he is at all times.
From the Patreon, which is great, because... We do a free live show, but since we started this Slack thing, it seems like more people actually...
Come.
Yeah,
so yeah, this is actually... we have a bunch of people that subscribe to our Patreon. It's a monthly fee. And as one of the included bonuses, you can come to our free show every week if you want to.
Yeah.
And as that's many a times huge, as you want.
It's really hard to get to that level.
Yeah.
In that way,
it's
all...
It's the lowest
It's the lowest level of human Patreon. It's just being around in the world.
Thank all of you guys for coming to the show. We have an amazing guest for you today. Yeah. She is an editor of Archie Comics and also the writer of Betty and Veronica and Betty and Veronica Vixens. Ladies and gentlemen, Jamie L. Rotate.
Yeah.
All right.
Come on down, walk
welcome.
This way.
Come on out.
Have a seat. Have a microphone.
Hello.
Fantastic
please,
to have
over
you.
Here. I didn't realize until just now how much of a processional we make people do.
No, it's really good.
Yeah, sorry
but
about
13
that.
13 years in, you just realize that.
Yeah.
Haven't you been looking at the stagecraft?
I haven't been really paying attention to much of anything. Jamie, thank you so much for coming and doing the show. I'm very excited to chat with you about these books. Betty and Veronica Vixens was the first one you did, right?
Yes.
And this was, for those who didn't pick it up, it was basically the Archie Comics characters, but in kind of... hardcore is probably too much, but it was definitely like not totally for kids... biker gang.
Right, yeah. As opposed to the kids' biker gangs.
Exactly.
Yes, children's...
running around on the...
tricycle gang.
Exactly. Where did that idea initially come from? How did that come about?
So we were thinking of just new ideas for editorial, and I was just sort of like, we need to do something a little different, something that puts the female characters at the forefront.
Hell yeah.
And I remember saying, like, it would be cool if it were like Betty and Veronica as cheerleaders by day, gang members by night. And originally it was just more of like... it's a girl gang, you know, in this sort of, like, hashtag girl gang sense. And then, like, the more we talked about it, it was like, well, we have the serpents who are kind of becoming bikers on the show. Why not have the girls hop on motorcycles and do that too? And then it's sort of like dived into like, what if it was like a 50s rockabilly kind of gang? And then that kind of element was still there, but I really wanted it to take place in the present because I felt like it just made more sense that way.
Now, how do you feel now that Riverdale, there are like 50 gangs? So it seems like your idea has definitely...
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I feel like aesthetically, that's pretty close. Do you guys know Audrey Mock's cover she did for, I believe it was issue 7? Pretty close to that. So when I saw it, I was like, yeah. Might have been some influence.
The thing that's interesting about it, I was looking at the back of the first trade, and there are characters who are on the show like Fangs Fogarty and Tony Topaz and Penny Peabody and whatever, but I didn't realize they all come from Little Archie. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, not Tony Topaz. She was a later addition, but Fangs, Penny, those are all Little Archie characters.
So what was it like to take these, you know, sweet little precocious characters and turn them into hardcore bikers?
It was awesome. The thing that was cool is, so Fangs was just always a bully. He really had no personality other than that. So that was an easy transition.
Also on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
And for the other characters, it was cool because they weren't really super fleshed out. They were just like little kids in the background. So it was easy to sort of just make that transition. And then I think the most fun I had was with the Evelyn Evernever character.
Oh, yeah.
Who's also on the show now.
Yes.
A little different.
Yeah. Big time.
Just because she was sort of like part of the Little Archie crew, but not really accepted as much. So I'm like, I'm going to give her just a weird background story.
It's crazy to think that, because that feels so, what Riverdale is doing now with her, how she's like sort of this cult figure. And the fact that it was just like a random background character, because it seems like the name Evelyn Evernever is not something you come up with. It's just like, this is a throwaway name. And now it's like such a dark, has a dark...
Yeah, in the comics, she was just sort of the character that was picked on a lot. She had a little doll named Minerva, and like every story was pretty much, hey, let's not include Evelyn. Let's have her, you know, cry with her little doll. It was like, oh, come on. Justice for Evelyn.
We've talked a lot on the show about the evolution of Archie comics, particularly in the recent era where it's gone from this very squeaky clean Americana to first... you guys, well, this actually wasn't first. There are a couple of different evolutions of it, but you had the horror books, which obviously popped really big. And this is something that kind of hits the middle a little bit. What age range do you think you're going there, and what aspect does this hit that Archie Comics is looking for?
So it's a little tough to answer that because I originally geared it towards a slightly older audience. But I feel like Eva's art is a little bit more for all ages.
Right.
I also think the message is good for younger kids, too. So I kind of toned it down a little bit in terms of language as it went on. Like, I originally had swear words in it that we just did the kind of comedic, like, you know, asterisks and all that.
Yeah.
So I think...
I fill in those words in my head.
Exactly. Exactly. If you're a kid, you can, you know, make it whatever you want. Yeah.
So really, if you're a kid, you don't know what the other letters are.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Pete still doesn't know, right?
Exactly. The real question.
I know it. There's swears.
Yeah. F pound sign, dollar sign, at symbol.
Yeah. If you look, actually, the Punisher slippers over there are swear jars, and every time Pete swears, he has to put a coin in the Punisher slippers.
Yep.
Sure.
Man. Talk about wealth.
So after the Vixen series, though, you took it back a notch, at least in terms of the hardcoreness, and do the Betty Veronica series. What's different about that? What's the pitch for that series, for those who haven't picked it up?
So this one is definitely geared more towards a young adult audience, and it's just about Betty and Veronica in their senior year of high school, facing college and their futures, something they haven't done before, which is pretty cool.
Since you've written them over two series now, what is special, what is unique about the Betty and Veronica relationship to you?
I think it's just because they have such different backgrounds, but they always come together. And it's kind of cool to sort of take Archie out of that equation. Because when they don't have him to fight over, it's a lot more fun to write. And that's something I've kind of like strived for in both series. Even if there's like a little bit of tension between them around him, it's never something that's going to come between them.
Cool. We do a weekly Riverdale podcast called Riverdale After Dark. And we used to, at the end of every podcast, ask for the episode of Riverdale, Betty or Veronica. We changed it because people felt like we were pitting them against each other too much.
Yeah.
And now we just kind of choose who our favorite of the episode is. So for you, though, Betty or Veronica?
I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
My default answer to that is usually Cheryl, but that's a cop out, I'll admit.
Popular choice.
I would say Veronica, just because I feel like you always favor the character you don't identify with to an extent. Ooh. So there's that little bit of that sort of wish fulfillment in getting to write her character.
That's a real writer answer. I love
that. That's
good.
Thank
you.
So you have the fourth issue is coming out
tomorrow.
What can people look forward to that?
That's the prom issue.
Very exciting. Stressful. What's going to happen?
Yeah.
90% of it is picking out corsages and figuring out the right one, right?
Yeah.
That's
the important part of prom.
That's the biggest part of prom. Yeah, from a florist point of view, I think. Which is where
I grew up in a flower shop.
This issue is actually from the florist point of view.
Smart. That's a lot of kids, especially young ages, are like, where do the flowers come from?
Exactly. It needed to be answered.
When I was a kid, I was like, why aren't there flower comics that speak to me? So I'm glad that you're finally doing it.
That's good. That's really good.
That's great. Definitely. What actually happens in the issue?
So prom is the backdrop, but it's about Benny and Veronica coming closer to understanding where they want to go after graduation. So it's a little bit more of their journey to that. And up until this point, there's still a lot of secrets between them. So it's a lot of that coming to a head.
And that's the comics that you gave us, right? That's the issue?
Yes. Yeah.
A couple lucky audience members will get a copy.
Get a free trip to prom.
Yeah.
So this series is starting to wrap up, though. They're going to head towards graduation, and that's kind of it.
That's the end of any character's life.
Do you feel like at this point, have you said everything that you want to say about Betty and Veronica, or do you feel like there's more that you could do going forward past Vixens, past this series?
There's definitely more. Okay. Absolutely.
Well, so what would you want to do?
Yeah.
I mean, after graduation, there's always the college years.
Oh,
that's
nice.
Also something
classic
that we haven't really done
like
yet.
Like Saved by the Bell did?
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, yeah,
Saved by the Bell, the college years. And we were huge fans of that.
Oh, huge fans.
Yep.
And you're also working as an editor at Archie Beyond, writing the stuff. Give us a broad overview. What is kind of the mission statement of Archie Editorial at this point?
Just keep pushing forward, keep putting stories out there that are just progressive and inclusive and just taking the characters where they haven't been before.
Nice. Are you ever challenged by like Riverdale and being like, we have to be crazier than Riverdale? Because Riverdale's sort of a ceiling of crazy for all of humanity.
Sure.
So are you ever like, we need to break through this outer crust of insanity?
So I almost feel like with the new Betty and Veronica series, it's kind of the opposite of that. I feel like that's going to such levels that this is like, okay, well, what about, you know, what actually happens in a high schooler's life?
Right.
What about the homework they have to do and, you know, not all the crimes they have to solve? So there's definitely an element of that in our other books where I don't want to say we feel like we have to match the crazy, but it definitely sets a bar of, hey, we can do pretty much whatever, you know, within reason.
They join a biker gang, a jet ski gang.
That was my plan for the following arc.
Okay, I'm sorry to spoil it, but that's a great move because
Betty and Veronica jet skiers?
That's good. Great for summer, obviously.
Exactly.
And a lot of crimes happen on the sea.
Oh,
that's true.
Yeah. Everybody knows.
Pete knows.
Oh, yeah. Everybody
Pete knows. Pete was lost at sea for what, 9 months?
9 months.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wild time in his life.
Tell that story about the pirate, Pete.
Yeah.
Well,
the pirate you encountered.
I thought I was stranded on an island alone. Nope.
Pirate.
There was a pirate there.
That's a good story.
It's a whole story.
First we were enemies, then we became friends.
Yeah, so it's a very cute story.
That is
It was adapted into Castaway.
Yep.
I don't know how much you're involved in this.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing I've ever... Every time I see Castaway, I'm going to be like, there's Tom Hanks and Pete in a scene together. Pete the volleyball. So sorry, Alex.
No,
this is really
fine.
Important stuff we're talking about.
It's great. It's great. I don't know how much you're involved in this aspect of things, but it's always a question that we talk about with Marvel, with DC, with everything, because there are all of these major media properties, how much they actually drive readers back to the books. Have you seen that with Riverdale, with Chilling Adventures of Sabrina? Has it driven people back to the Archie comics themselves?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We especially see it at conventions.
Oh,
we
have great.
The Riverdale books do amazing at those, and there's a lot of people who are like, you know, that made me dig out all my old ones, and to know that you guys are still making them is awesome. So totally helps.
Is there an underrated favorite other than your books that's coming out from Archie right now that people should be checking out?
Sabrina is awesome. I don't know if you guys have read that yet, but that's amazing.
Yeah.
Not out yet, but I'm really excited for Jughead's Time Police.
Oh, yeah. Give the pitch for that one. I mean, I think people can figure it out from the title.
So,
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Good.
Jughead's Time Police. It's a reboot of the 80s series where Jughead travels through time. Wow. And there's a police force that he works with / against.
Checks out. No question. Yeah. Cool. No follow-up question.
Does he eat any time burgers? I know what those are, but I'm just...
Of course, there's always burgers.
Great. Betty and Veronica number 4 comes out tomorrow.
Yes.
In comic book shops everywhere. Definitely check that out. We're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
Yeah, we do.
And in The Stack, we talk about a couple of books that we particularly like this week. Let's kick it off with Daredevil number 3 from Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
Pass this over your way. Yeah. Pete, was this your pick?
You're damn right it was.
I know exactly why, but go ahead anyway.
So it's always tough when you like somebody's run on a big character and then it ends. You're like, oh man, will the next one pick up? How good will it be? Especially when the art is so different, but I've been really impressed with this, especially with this issue. They make some real smart choices, you know, with the character. Yeah. And Daredevil, you think, is in real trouble. Like, he almost gets demasked a couple of times.
Classic Daredevil.
But luckily, he has a friend who's always got his back.
Nice.
So Daredevil has been accused of a murder.
Yes.
That's important to mention.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so the police are after him. Everyone's after him, especially this one cop in particular. And then they catch him. And then all the other cops are like, actually, Daredevil's nice.
Yeah, he's cool. He's really helped us out over the years.
And it's crazy. This issue, so they get in this cop and Daredevil get in a fist fight surrounded by like 50 cops, which I was like, what?
That's how police work works.
Yeah, I guess there's probably that's probably happening somewhere around here.
Every
in
day,
New York City.
Every day in New York City, every street, there's a police fight.
Yeah,
great. And you live in a very rough neighborhood called Park Slope, right?
Where this kind of thing happens. It's fucked up there.
Yeah, it's fucked up there. Great. I can't believe you're raising children there.
They're usually fighting the police.
Congratulations on them. And then who comes and saves Daredevil's life?
Yeah, who do you think? Of course, the Punisher, because all he does is give.
Yeah.
That's not what's going on there. So on the very last page, the Punisher shows up, and the Punisher now thinks... they had this classic conversation back in the Frank Miller issues where Punisher chained Daredevil to a chimney, and it was like, we're not that different, you and I. You're one bad day away from becoming me. Hmm. So Punisher, at the end of the issue, and what we're heading towards in the next issue, feels like, oh, you had that bad day. We're the same now. Isn't that really cool? Of course, it's not true because Daredevil didn't actually kill the guy, but it's a very cool setup for... Yeah. The story.
I like the idea that Punisher is like tracking all the heroes, being like, bad day? Nope. Not yet. Spider-Man, good day. We're fine. Daredevil had a bad afternoon. It could be a bad full day. Going to check in on him. Yeah. So he's like a reverse guardian angel.
Yeah,
he's a guardian devil.
He cares so
much,
he's watching everybody. Yeah.
He cares so much. He's like, come join the murder club. I'm the only one in it. Yeah. Now he could kill people.
Are you a Daredevil fan at all? Have you been checking out the books? Or movies or a TV show?
The movies.
I have not.
All of them.
Yeah.
All the
I have not,
movie.
But I like the I like this concept of Punisher watching over everyone.
Punisher, Punisher hobby, the hobbyist.
He probably has a bad day alert that's going off all the
time. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
His Google alerts are set to Daredevil murder, Spider-Man murder.
Cool, let's move on to another issue, Mr. and Mrs. X, number 9, also from Marvel Comics. Justin, this was your pick. You want to talk about this?
Now, I really like this series. It's Rogue and Gambit, famously on again, off again in their relationship. They went to a wedding between Colossus and Kitty Pryde, and then they were like, we're not getting married, and they were like, we will! Just like you do.
Standard stuff.
Standard wedding situation. Because we all know, if you're at a wedding and no one's getting married, you can't leave until someone gets
married. Somebody's married. Somebody's got to step up. Yeah,
exactly.
Otherwise, the priest or rabbi, whoever, is not allowed to leave.
Exactly. And then you want to have a priest living at your house. And it's weird.
No,
it's like, oh, feed the priest. Someone change the priest.
Change the priest.
Priests are like basically babies.
Giant babies.
That's why.
It's true.
They're,
I'm Jewish, but even I know that.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for being so aware of the Christian faith. So anyway, they did get married, and this series has been their honeymoon in space. They've gotten mixed up in all this stuff, and over the course of it, Rogue's powers have once again gone haywire.
Oh, man.
And it felt, I know, it's a common
Who
thing.
Who saw that coming?
But this issue, actually, I really liked. If you're a fan of Rogue, the breakdown of how her, what's been driving her and why she's just constantly sort of out of sorts is really great in this. It's the best Rogue story I've read in a really long time. And their relationship is legit in a great way.
Yeah, it's actually really touching.
It's see, look at you.
I wanted to hate this.
Oh, man, but wanted to so bad for so many reasons because I picked it because it has happy people in it.
Oh.
And I don't know what else, just that it's a book.
Staples, yeah, but, the staples are
the
in
way
it.
That I handed it to you. Or like, but, we do this show, read this.
No, but it was really kind of touching the way they kind of broke down her perspective and how she deals with her powers. And and the, you know, the, where they're making out at the end was very cool and touching. And then
making out is great.
Making out is great. I'm glad you were talking about it.
You guys like making out out there?
Okay. Sort of a medium response.
I guess not.
I guess they're more into less making out.
So this is Gambit and Rogue have been captured by Mojo and thrown into Mojo World and thrown through all these different TV and dramatic scenarios. I love Mojo. I love Spiral. I love Longshot. Yeah. So I'm super into this whole thing. But the thing that Kelly Thompson, the writer, is doing that's absolutely amazing to your point is going through Gambit and Rogue's entire history on this series.
Yeah.
All of the different iterations of their costumes, of their relationship, of everything else.
It's great.
It's continuity done well.
Kelly Thompson is fantastic.
Yes.
Agreed.
Spreading the Sabrina series, right? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, to be able to loop all that stuff up, especially where in here Rogue's like, yeah, and then I absorbed Captain Marvel and I had her in my body for a long time. And it's just like, she says it in a way where you're like, oh, yeah, but you don't get stuck on, that's crazy.
Yeah.
that also Captain Marvel being such a popular character now, the fact that for a long time that they have to honor in the Marvel Universe is like, yeah, briefly she was living inside the head of an X-Man that is now not popular.
Right. This series is absolutely great. Lots of fun. I hope they keep it going. I hope they don't break them up.
I agree, though. I don't think they're doing more of this book any longer.
Oh.
Which is, so that doesn't mean the relationship ends just because the book ends.
I think that's how it works.
It does.
It does. Oh, okay, great. Oh, horror. That's
we have an
that's why every night I go home and I write a comic with my wife.
Oh, that's really nice. Great. I've been looking to read those issues. Yeah, will you ever release them?
I don't know. We're still working on them.
Oh, nice.
It's a work in progress.
Oh, cool. Is it just like, what kind of stuff happens in it? Is it like,
what are you asking?
Yeah,
I'm just curious.
What are you doing?
A lot of fight scenes.
A lot of fight scenes.
Yeah, a lot of action.
A lot of action between you and your wife. Is there some making out?
There's a little making out.
Okay, cool. Audience, obviously.
What are we doing here? Can we
talk about the next comic, please?
No. We're talking about Alex's and his wife's comic that they write every night.
Where do you want me to start? Do you want me to start with our wedding night, or where do you want to go from?
I'd like to start there, yes.
All right.
How long did Alex, the priest live with you for?
I'm all cut up at the mic cart. Okay, that means it's time to move on. Shazam number 4 from DC Comics.
You know, there's a popular film coming out by the same guy.
Yeah, you're really
Captain Marvel? Is that what you're talking
about?
That's
what he is. The big red cheese, I think, is what people say.
So this is by Jeff Johns, and this issue is drawn by Dale Eaglesham, who has so far done 3 out of the 4 issues, I think.
I like those odds.
Yeah. So the idea of the book is that Shazam and the rest of the Marvel family has traveled deep in the Rock of Eternity and discovered all of these different lands hidden inside, including basically like a candy toy kids land. Mm. They got thrown into a bunch of other lands the past issue, including an animal land called the Wildlands, and a game land, which I think is called Game Land. Mm-hmm. We also find out that Earth is one of the lands called the Earthlands. So it's really fleshing out the mythology here, but the star of this issue is definitely Dale Eaglesham's art, which, I mean, that's not a huge surprise, but there's these insanely enormous crowd scenes in the Wildlands where it's all these animal creatures wandering around. We get to see a new iteration of Talkie Tawny, the talking tiger who pals around with
this.
Oh, you want to stop there for a second?
Because seeing this, Talkie Tawny, what is the deal with this? To me, it's like it's a tiger that wears a suit.
Yeah.
Why is that person hanging out with Captain Marvel all the time? Because that's like
Well, that's what we're explaining in this issue. I think this is a new take on Shazam because they've rebooted the DC continuity again.
Right.
And we haven't seen Talkie Tawny around.
But let me throw this out at you.
Yeah,
if they're rebooting the idea, are they like, oh, we have to include the talking tiger in the suit with this normal superhero who's in a movie now?
Yes.
But see, that's
I understand your point, but I think what they're trying to do, what Geoff Johns is trying to do, which he does so well, is give an in-continuity explanation for this that will tie in emotionally to the entire series. Mm. That's one of the things that he absolutely is the best at.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to turn out here, because really we just get to see Talkie Tony wandering around through these animal scenes. He's not like the other animals. He doesn't like eating humans or anything like that. But we don't know what his deal is or how he relates to the Marvel family as of yet. What did you guys think of this book?
I mean, it's worth it alone for the art. It is so fantastic. It's been fun to see all these different worlds. I'm excited to see where this goes. So far, it's just been kind of like a lot of different ideas, and I'm excited to see how it ties together.
Where would you like to hang out? Candyland, Gameland, Earth, regular Earth?
I mean, I got to go with Candyland on that. Yeah.
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 The Candyland, as we find out on this issue, is pretty fucked up, though.
Yeah, it is.
Wait, what?
Oh, you want to live in a fucked up Candyland.
Yeah, man. Hold on. So the idea of the Candyland is that all kids are welcome there because King Kid, who rules over it, was abused as a child or bullied by other kids and abused by adults. So he doesn't want any adults there. But what we find out is as the kids age out of Kidland or
being
whatever
kids.
It's called, being kids.
It's called puberty.
Right. They're thrown in the bottom of the land and forced to work until they die.
Yeah.
So it's like
you're
real
into
life.
That?
So, yeah. Wow. So it's like real life. That's
it's like
true.
Real life, yeah.
Exactly. We live in Candyland and then we have to get
the
jobs.
The second you'd get there, you'd be thrown to work.
Yeah, it sucks now, but I feel like every time I read a comic, I'm a kid again. So it's like, you know.
Nice. That's not how that I don't works. Think the Candyland would treat you that way.
Well, right. Maybe.
Because, hey,
would.
Let me tell you, bro, you're old. You're going to be working
in
Candyland.
Thanks, you young guy.
I'm very young.
With
look,
with a tie on and the fucking sweater vest.
Yeah,
fuck you, you piece of shit.
This is like a child's tie.
Jamie, if you could go to one of the lands that we described, which one would you go to?
Not Candyland. That doesn't
yeah,
sound
great choice.
That
good
sounds
choice.
Very misleading.
Smart choice.
Did you say the Earthlands one is just?
It's just,
yeah, it's just Earth.
Earth. Earth. Right, yeah, I guess I'll stick with that one.
You're right. Just stay with Earth.
That's the safe choice.
Because I don't know enough about the other two.
Yeah, that's pretty
nice. That's
what
good.
About you, Justin?
I'm curious about Gameland.
Yeah, seems pretty cool.
Seems cool. You get to like.
It's like Tron.
Points. It's like Tron, yeah. Everyone's favorite game. It's funny, though, talking about Candyland, it reminded me of when I was growing up, Nickelodeon had their like ad campaign was sort of like, on the weekend, it's kids only.
Yeah.
You get to watch TV. Mm-hmm. And it was always like, send your parents to their rooms. And whenever I watched that, it stressed me out. Because I was always like, what do you want me to do? Why do I have to get rid of my parents? Am I doing something? It was just a very stressful, and maybe that speaks to what kind of kid I was. And I was like, wait, what?
Kids? Nickelodeon was the original Momo challenge.
Wow.
Nobody?
Yeah. No, that was so last week, Alex.
Oh, sorry, guys.
So last week.
I'll try to be more current in my references.
Yeah, just find the new Japanese culture-based horror that everyone's worried about.
I'll think on that one.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
Guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Oh, that's nice.
And for that, we're going to come out to you guys.
Oh, hands up already.
A lot of,
so
a lot
many
of
hands
questions.
Up. If we have a question for our amazing guest, you can ask that. If you have a question for all of us, that's okay, too. That's all right.
Let's say it's great.
It's awesome.
I feel like we opened up a lot of new lines of questioning when we talked about Pete's role as the volleyball in Castaway.
I have a lot of questions about that.
All right. What's your question about Castaway or volleyballs? I'm kidding. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Kier Alexander. What's going on?
What's
this
up?
This is for Jamie and also for the other guys.
Nice, great.
An input. I've noticed like Archie has had like crossovers with other like comic properties. Like there's the infamous Pete. You'll appreciate this. Archie and Punisher.
Yeah,
true.
And even the Ninja Turtles. But I was thinking if you guys were able to or fantasize of an Archie slash comic or licensed property crossover aside Marvel and DC, what would your picks? Be
oh, outside of Marvel,
outside Marvel, like Boom, IDW,
anything.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And we should probably mention this was just announced today. There's going to be an Archie versus Predator 2. And Archie versus Predator.
Wow.
Well, yeah.
Starting the slow clap. He's starting the slow clap.
That was one of the more forceful claps I've ever seen.
Yes. No, the first Archie versus Predator was
very
awesome.
Good. Yeah, so it was good. Very good.
Yeah. Really so that's very exciting.
Yeah.
Don't choose that, you guys.
Yeah. Okay.
But what would you want to see, Jamie?
For me personally, it would be a self-indulgent one where I would have Vixens meet Elvira.
Ooh.
Just nice. Very cool.
My own.
There's an Elvira comic out right now
exactly.
So I feel like that's definitely in the ether.
What about you guys? Any picks there?
I would like to see an Image crossover because I would love to see Lion Cat and Archie Comics. That'd be great.
Oh, Archie meets Saga?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Lion Cat. Because you think Archie's a liar?
I think, and his pants are on fire. Yeah, definitely.
Wow. That's quite an accusation.
Yep.
That would be great, though, for any time he's like making dates with both of them. Lion Cat just shows
he's
up.
Like flying. But I feel like Betty and Erotica are like, we know he made a date with the other one. We talk all the time. And Archie's a scumbag like that. He's just double booked. Archie meets Game of Thrones would be cool, and maybe that's because I'm rewatching Game of Thrones.
Dude.
But I feel like he would be murdered very quickly in Game of Thrones.
I don't know. I feel like Archie specifically.
I
feel like Archie would keep tripping and falling.
Yeah,
and
he would have dumb luck on his side.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And he'd end up on the Iron Throne.
I will say a lot of the characters do have dumb luck in Game of Thrones. And Jughead, what's the guy, the kid's name that Arya's friend who is the baker? That's basically Hot Pie, that's Jughead.
Huh.
That sounds like a character in Riverdale. I feel like Hot Pie should be a character.
They're all like, we're going to escape on this adventure. He's like, I just got a job in this bakery, so I'm going to stay here for the rest of the show, hopefully. he basically
smartest character on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
On the Image Comics meet, this is probably a pretty straightforward one, but I'd love to see Afterlife with Archie meets Walking Dead. I think that would be fun. Bring over the Walking Dead characters, have them fight the zombies in Afterlife with Archie. That would be a lot of fun.
Nice.
I think. Cool. Great question. You're going to get some free comics. You, sir, right up there. Why don't you come down?
Nice.
The cord's a little short. What's your name? What's your question?
I'm Joe. I have two questions and a follow-up. Is that cool?
Two and a follow-up? All right. Let's get nuts.
Can I decode the Rosetta Stone? Does that unlock the cipher quiz?
Wow.
All right. So just to give you guys quick background, for a couple of years now, Pete was running a secret Punisher quiz. We finally finished the Punisher quiz. It was unlocked. It was finished. The prize was given out. And then it was revealed there's a secret cipher quiz as well. There was a phrase to unlock the secret cipher quiz. Unfortunately, that is not the phrase.
Oh, that's really good.
I'm very sorry. Good luck next time.
Of Batman, Wolverine, and Punisher, which one is most likely secretly a fan of ABBA? Follow up, what's their favorite ABBA song?
Wow.
That's a very specific question.
Wow. Batman
Wolverine, Punisher.
I'm going to have to go with Batman on this one.
You think Batman's an ABBA?
Yeah. It's like, I feel like Alfred rocks a little ABBA around the mansion a little
but
bit.
But is he a fan of it? Or does Alfred just play it and he's like, turn that off?
Yeah.
Well, I think at first he was like that, but then after a while he was like,
Alfred, skip this track. Bad memories.
Interesting. Like the one that's about money, money, money.
Yeah. You think the Wayne Manor has like a Sonos system where they all are listening to the same tracks? That's for another time. I think Punisher, because he lives in such darkness, he needs something to really brighten him up. And his song,
I can imagine him standing over some guns going, Mamma mia, here I go again.
Yeah. My. I was going to say Dancing Queen is what he's playing, but that's just me.
Yeah, I'll agree with the Punisher one, I think. I think that's a good one. Do you have a pick, Jamie?
Wolverine and Fernando.
Wow. Nice. Well done.
Way to be on top of your shit. Fucking around. Here's the answer.
Yeah.
Got to give it to Jamie.
Great question. You're going to get some free comics. You, sir, I saw your hand shoot up. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Kevin, and I will say Shazam is a great movie.
Oh, you see?
Wow, look at this guy.
All right.
Now, you were talking earlier about Little Archie and, the Candyland that they go in. There have been a lot of comics and cartoons about, de-aging popular characters. Mm-hmm. What are some of your favorite examples, or what are some that you would love to see that you haven't?
Nice.
Well, I
got to
say, Muppet Babies, as a kid, that was It was awesome. I watched it all the time.
Yeah. Great.
Great.
That was such a stoic, serious situation for you. Great.
Yes, I also watched Muppet Babies.
Yeah, we all clearly watched Muppet Babies. De-aged characters.
I'm going to go with, I mean, this is how the mojo bent, but I loved X-Babies back in the day. It's one of the more ridiculous things in the X-Men continuity, but them getting de-aged by Mojo and having, like, tiny little X-Men running around was always a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's great.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of a good answer.
Jamie, do you have one? De-aged characters?
I guess it's not de-aged, but I did love Tiny Toons. Oh, nice. Not quite the
yes.
same.
Yes, yeah, Tiny Toons.
I actually rewatched the pilot of that recently, and it's crazy. It's a pretty progressive comedically. Like, they did some very funny sort of targeted, like, anti-corporate. There's a ton of anti-corporate shit in that. This was so long ago for kids. So great for them. I could only think of the movie Big, which is the opposite. It's when a child is turned into an adult. So I have a bad answer for that one.
Great. Let's take another question. I saw your hand up earlier. What's your name? What's your question?
Hey, Alex. My name is Rachel. I'm going to give a second for, like, room tone because you're probably going to want to take this out of your podcast. Cool.
Oh, sorry, I ruined it, but I don't think so.
Have you read my LinkedIn message? So I've been applying for a position at The Decider, and my friend here told me not to do this, which just made me want to do it more. So have you read it?
Oh, you want to, this
what's
is
going on? Yeah, it's getting serious here.
No, this is serious. I don't check LinkedIn ever. So
but
I'll take a look.
You did accept me as a connection.
I come in, I accept requests, and then that's pretty much it. But I'll go back and I'll check out the message.
We get in a lot of LinkedIn fights on this show.
We do.
No, that's not it. I'm not looking for a fight.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Okay, yeah, no.
I'm just aggressive.
So we were actually the other day talking on the podcast about social media outlets. I spent a lot of time on Twitter, spent a lot of time on Tumblr. I have no idea what to do with Instagram. I'm not really on Facebook anymore. And LinkedIn, I barely check at all.
That's cool. Well, an interesting thing is I looked at a lot of your Instagram. I know your life now. I said, I know your life now. You should be very careful with that.
Okay. If you looked at my Instagram, you know I mostly eat chips.
That's good.
Nothing weird, though.
Yeah. No, this is definitely not
weird. This is
definitely
helping my chances,
right? No one thinks this is weird.
Right, guys?
This is definitely not a weird thing at all. Did you have a question about comic books, though, or just about LinkedIn?
Mostly just about that.
Okay, that's fine.
Mostly, but also about Sabrina.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
The Netflix series right now.
Yes.
How do you feel about that? I feel like it's over-sexualized. In some ways. It's my feeling.
Well, you should check out my post on LinkedIn about that. Left a very
You're doing long. A lot of very sad.
Yeah, so. What do you guys think? What do you guys think about...
Actually, I don't think Sabrina's... I think Riverdale's much more overly sexualized.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, there's so many... Especially this season, I feel like, there's been so many, like, scenes that are literally just sex scenes, when in the past seasons they haven't done that. Sabrina, I think, is actually pretty... I think they're trying to find that real, like, teenage experience of, like...
Right, but I mean...
The uncomfortability with sex. And
there are, like, you know... orgy scenes or whatever that happen in the background sometimes of these.
Sure, there's orgy scenes. Yeah, but that's just a normal...
That's a normal high school experience.
Yeah, exactly, it's high school.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a regular high school experience. Prom, orgy, what's the difference?
I do think, I mean, part of the series is that they set up that in which society everybody is very free with their sexuality.
Yeah.
So that's part and parcel with it. But I do think the push and pull of the series... is the human society versus the witch society. What is right, what is not right, and I think that's what they're playing around with. At least that's what I take away from it.
Yeah, and I feel like it's pretty tame compared to the source material, too, from the comics. So
the recent Sabrina series.
Yeah, exactly. So when I watched it, I was surprised because I was like, oh, this is a little bit more teen-friendly than I was expecting. So coming from that angle, I didn't really catch that as much.
Nice.
Cool. All right. Any other questions? Ooh, another one over here. What's your name? What's your question? Is this about by LinkedIn?
Yeah.
Okay. My name is Joseph. Hi, Jamie. This
Hello.
Is a question for you.
Nice.
So, congratulations on your writing career.
Thank you. That's
awesome. I was wondering, do you, in your writing process, is it difficult to make deadlines? And if you do successfully make them, how do you, like, manage your milestones. I guess that's a good way of putting it. Like, being able to pace yourself so you make it on time.
Oh, that's a good question. I think because I work in the back end of editorial, I have it really drilled in my head, like, make these deadlines, make these deadlines, because I'm so often dealing with freelancers who don't always.
Yeah, it'd be hard for you to yell at a freelancer, like, hey, you're not done on your deadline, and then be like, oh, sorry, I've been busy, I didn't get my writing done.
Exactly, yeah. So for me, my thing is I just build a fake schedule for myself. So I have, like, access to all the, you know, the dates we have to hit, and then I do ones month in advance, and I treat those as, like, the do or die. So sometimes I find myself not always hitting those, but I'll be stressed because I'm like, oh my God, I missed my deadline. And then I realize I had 3 weeks extra that I forgot that I gave myself.
That's great.
So that's my thing. I kind of create a fake deadline, but treat it as a real one.
Do you guys, I mean, you guys have assignments at jobs like that as well, that's deadline true. Based. Do you have any particular tricks to hit those?
I have an extensive to-do list that runs over. There's like the to-do list, and there's like, well, I should start a new to-do list just for this week. And then there becomes a daily to-do list. So yeah, it's definitely that sifting through all of the stuff that's going on and reprioritizing. But I fake deadlines, I'm like, well, I don't actually have to do that. So I always end up having to really, I do the opposite. I create a real deadline where I'm like, I'll have this for you on Friday. And I'm like, fuck, why? So then I'm like, okay, I definitely do that. Yeah. And it's because the fake deadlines don't work for me. I wish I could create a fake deadline. Instead, I have to, rather than lie to myself, I have to fuck myself.
Dude, I work with a guy, we're working on a team together, and he was like, we can have this done by end of day. And I was just like, what are you doing? Yeah. But yeah, what I try to do is partner up. I have somebody that I work with or write with, and then we pick deadlines, and we make sure we do check-ins with each other all the time.
Oh,
then that really helps, especially when you've got somebody on the outside kind of being like, hey, don't forget.
Yeah, a writer's group is a great way to keep, because pressure.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than, I mean, amazing that you can keep an internal personal deadline like that, but the social pressure of having to be like, this is due when we all read our pieces together, whatever it is you're working on, is huge, I think.
And it is tough if you're just creating deadlines for yourself, because I know for like personal writing projects, I can never, you know, but if there's like somebody next in the chain, I want to give them enough time. Right. But if it's just for me, it gets difficult. So I understand.
All right, very
Alex,
good.
What about you?
For deadlines?
Yeah.
I think a lot of it for me is, so I was freelance for, I was freelance for a bunch of years, and I did a similar sort of thing, except I kind of created like this boss, and this is going to sound a little crazy, but I created this boss in the back of my head that yells at me all the time.
Oh, this is
and,
crazy.
And tells me to do stuff and just
get it
done.
What does that boss sound like?
Yeah, what's the boss sound like?
Is it Pete? Alex, you
fuck. Get it done.
No, it basically, it's, I tell myself, I'm like, listen, you got to get, if you get this done, it's going to be done, which I know sounds very circular as an argument, but rather than procrastinating, it's more like, just get it done, and then you won't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
And so that's how I force myself to do the thing. And then the other thing that I do is I like to arrange the things that I want to do, so I do them second. Even if it's a writing assignment, I'll write the thing I don't want to write first so that I know I can get through that and I can finish that thing so I can get on to the thing that I actually like to do.
Eat the vegetables first.
Exactly.
Ooh. Before you get to the candy prison full of adults.
Yeah. Smart. You got it.
That's smart.
Great question. Anybody else? No? Okay, that's it for your audience questions.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to move it to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Pete LePage, the once and future star of trivia, is back with us again tonight. What a treat.
You know, it was fun one time when you weren't here and I just got to do trivia.
That seems crazy because I'm a part of this too, bitch.
This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free.
What?
Yeah, that's right. In the form of a $25 gift card to Midtown Comics, because if you had $25, you go to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? Sybil, raising the hand. First hand up, guy. Yes. Come on down.
Please come stand
classic
over here.
Winner.
Over here, sir.
All right. Sir, what is your name?
Joe.
Joe, audience. Audience, Joe.
Isn't that very nice?
All right, great. So, Joe, today's trivia is topical comic news, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, $25 yours, okay? Question number one. Todd McFarlane welcomes who back to Image Comics for Spawn number 300?
I wouldn't call this topical, but sure.
Is it A, Jim Lee, B, Mark Silvestri, or C, Gina Davis? So it's either A, or you could pick B or C and be wrong.
A?
A is correct.
Nice.
Jim Lee is going to do a cover for Spawn 300. I'm excited.
Yeah, that's great.
Here we go. Question number two. What tie-in project that Matt Rosenberg worked on is about to debut? Is it A, Archie Meets the Ramones, B, War of Realms, Uncanny X-Men, or is it C, A Fun Way to See the Grand Canyon? So it's either A, or you could pick B and be correct.
B?
Yeah, that's right. Nice. War of Realms, Uncanny X-Men.
Makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, the big War of Realms crossover. Yeah, here we go. Question number three. Eric Larson said he is returning to blank for a few short gigs. Is it A, Marvel, B, Image, or is it C, Brad Pitt? So it's either A, Marvel, B, Image, or C. Don't pick it. So you could pick
A.
A is correct. Yes,
amazing.
It's coming back to Marvel.
Wait, it's like reading a catcher in the middle of a baseball.
There you
game.
Go. $25 is yours. Right. Congratulations.
Now, as we all know, this show is nothing but trivia quizzes anymore. There is a sub trivia quiz that's a pattern. With the three final answers.
The C's.
The C's.
The C's.
Has anybody figured out what the pattern is? Ooh. Okay, wait. Who do we need to go over to, Pete? Do we need to go over to
him? Well, he's our resident expert.
Okay,
yes.
All right. Yeah. You get first crack at it.
So it's Gina Davis.
No, I think fun way to see the Grand Canyon, yeah. And Brad Pitt. Yeah, yeah, it's Thelma and Louise.
That is correct, yeah.
Famous comic book movie, Thelma and Louise. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's very
great.
Good.
I'm glad we're paying tribute to them.
That's good. It's the time we really put the focus in the show.
It's a great film, guys. I don't know why you're hating on it right now.
Sure.
No,
it just doesn't make any sense. Oh, yeah. It does.
Oh, is it because of Betty Veronica?
Thank you.
That's what you thought. Really?
Jesus.
That's what you had planned?
Yeah.
No, no way.
Stuff within stuff, guys. Give me a chance.
Wow. Jesus. That's crazy. How deep does the onion go? We'll never know what's spinning around Pete's beautiful mind.
Yeah. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, man. Lot of great stuff coming out. Come on, phone. I am looking forward to Paper Girls number 26 as well as War of Realms number 1.
Yes.
Any particular reason for either of them?
Well, Paper Girls is wrapping up and it's been an amazing series. I'm really excited to see how it ends.
Yeah. What about War of Realms?
Jason Aaron's writing that. It's been talked about for a long time.
Built up.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see if it's worth it. You know?
We have a regular comic book review podcast called The Stack that rolls out in the Comic Book Club live feed.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Pete, for remembering. Wednesday at 9 a.m., we'll have a review of War of Realms in that podcast,
and
among
others.
Other things.
And other things.
And other things.
I'm looking forward to Die Number 5, the Kieran Gillen series. I love that series from Image Comics. It's about a group of people who were playing a Dungeons & Dragons-like game, and they were drawn into it and then emerged with their lives forever sort of, like, ruined. and they're adults, and they've been drawn back in to the game by the person they left behind. It's very good. The art is beautiful. Definitely worth checking out.
I'm looking forward to, I got to be honest, I forgot what the number is because the numbering is weird on this, but there's this crossover with Amazing Spider-Man that's happening right now called Hunted, where Kraven the Hunter has put
18.
This dome. Is it 18.hu or something like
18
that?
18.hu is what comes out tomorrow.
Okay, there you go. Kraven the Hunter has put this dome over Central Park, put all the animal-themed villains and Spider-Man in there, and they're being hunted by a bunch of Kraven robots. And this issue is focusing on the Gibbon a character that we saw in the last issue. Nick Spencer is writing it, and he does such a good job with these Z-level villains. I'm really curious to see what he does with this.
The issue of Spider-Man number 18 that came out this past week was really good. This event is, I think, going to be great, and it really, like, it's a new take on dealing with Kraven and combining Spider-Man with his villains in a fun way. I'm excited for it.
The numbering is really pissing me off.
It really bothers you because it's letters.
Yeah.
Because it's mixing your peanut butter and chocolate, but it's fine. It's just HU. It stands for hunted.
It's like a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Why don't you just go, you know, like 18, 19? No, you got to go 18 and then 18 HU.
Because it takes place between issues.
What would you call it, 18.5?
19.
What about fractions? There are other numbers out there, Pete. You got to expand your. You were just talking. I just called you a beautiful mind. That guy's a math genius. You got to think about math. You got to get into fractions, dude. They're spinning around you all the time.
Jamie,
think about this. You're one third of this. The host of this show. Think about that. You're a fraction.
Yeah,
HU. You're an HU.
Yeah, if you wanted to count the host, there's one host. 1.HU host.
Yeah,
and 1.H.
Oh, shit. Really ran out of gas there, too.
I really did. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have started there. JB, plug your stuff. What should people check out?
So Betty and Veronica number 4, the penultimate chapter of the miniseries, is out in comic shops tomorrow.
Nice.
You can actually pre-order the graphic novel on Amazon right now.
Oh, cool.
That comes out, I believe, in the fall. And anything Archie's doing, I have a hand in it in some way. So,
all right.
We read the issue that comes out tomorrow, and it's great. The art is really great, and sort of not the same type of art you would normally see in an Archie series, and it's really cool.
Yeah,
thank you.
I definitely recommend
it's fun. Definitely pick that up. Couple of things to plug before we go. If you would like to support the show, it is free to come see and free to listen to, but it does cost us a little bit of money to do so. Patreon.com/comicbookclub. There are actual bonuses that we provide to people, not just coming to see the free show, as we were joking earlier.
No, just kidding. We were just kidding.
Yeah. We also mentioned Riverdale After Dark, the Riverdale podcast that we do. This week, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is back. So we have the Chilling Podcast of Sabrina is back. With at least 5, maybe 9 new episodes this week.
We've been together a lot this week.
Yes, we have.
Cool.
Yes.
It's been good.
Also, Cloak and Dagger is back this week, so there's going to be 2 new episodes of Cloak and Jabber. Our Cloak and Dagger podcast are coming back Thursday night. And we have our American Gods podcast is currently running called American Godcast, so check all of those out.
Just a healthy amount of television for adult people to watch.
I'm feeling great.
I feel great.
Yeah. What else do you want to plug, Pete?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our show.
Follow us on Twitter @ComicBookLive. And as always, check out Alex's LinkedIn.
Very active on there. Check us out at comicbookclub@live.com for this podcast and many more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. Thanks to Jamie.
Yeah.
Thanks to Boothman!
Boothman Prime!
But most of all, thanks to you guys. We're every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night!
Thanks,
night,
everybody. Guys. Thanks
Thank
for coming
you.
Out. Sit on crack day.